Praise God. Father, I just pray, Lord, that you would touch us today through your word, Lord. Cause us to have a huge vision of you. Cause us to see you as you are in all of your glory and all of your power and majesty, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Well, there are a lot of fables and myths and stories surrounding the origin of Valentine's Day. And by the way, happy Valentine's Day to you guys. It's coming up in case I don't see you between now and then. But with all the legend and all the stories, the most credible story about the origins of Valentine's Day that is really based on the most evidence and the most facts is the story of the actual guy known as Saint Valentine, whose name was originally Valentinus. And he lived way back in the around 200 AD or so, around that period of time before the Nicene Council. Valentinus was actually a pastor who lived during the reign of a Roman emperor named Claudius II, otherwise known as Claudius the Goth. And at that time, it was forbidden for people to give either aid or comfort to Christians. There was a lot of persecution going on in various degrees. And Valentinus, this pastor, was arrested for performing secret marriages of Christians, since they couldn't do that really openly in public, as he would perform these secret marriages and celebrate with them. Apparently, he got found out, he got arrested, he got thrown in jail. His jailer was a man by the name of Asterius. And Asterius was sort of a kindly old guy and treated him reasonably. I mean, he only got the bare necessities in jail, but he didn't, you know, cause him any undue suffering or torture or those kinds of things. He treated him fairly nicely. And Asterius had a daughter. I don't know her name, but she was blind. And she befriended Valentinus while he was in jail. And she comforted him and befriended him by bringing him food, bringing him messages from other Christians, kind of keeping his spirits up, keeping his morale high, even though he was in prison for simply doing what the Lord had called him to do. And after about a year in prison, Valentinus was summoned before the emperor Claudius to stand trial as part of his trial. And Claudius, as the story goes, was so impressed by Valentinus that he tried to convert him over to the worship of Roman gods, to the Pantheon. Of course, Valentinus was a very consecrated, dedicated, on-fire Christian, and he thought that would be a great opportunity instead to win the emperor over to Christ. And that just so infuriated the emperor that he decided to have Valentinus put to death. And so he ordered him to be executed by clubbing and by stoning. In the last few days before he died, before they carried out the sentence, Valentinus led the jailer, Asterius, and his daughter to Christ. There are some stories that say that Valentinus prayed for his daughter and that the Lord restored her sight. That's not as aptly documented, but it's a possibility, I imagine. But he led them to the Lord. And on the eve of his execution, this pastor wrote a farewell message to the jailer's daughter, and he signed it, "From your Valentine." And then he was executed outside the Flaminian Gate in Rome on guess what date? February 14th in the year 269 AD. Interesting story. Fascinating. I really wasn't aware of all the history that goes into that. But it also raises some important questions, particularly in our culture and in our time. One of which is, why do people hate Christians so much? I mean, in Arab countries, they'll kill you for becoming a Christian. I'm reading a story, an autobiography, about a woman who was in Lebanon during the Civil War, where it was a very multicultural nation. There's a lot of tolerance, if you can call it that, among Christians and Muslims and all the various sects that were out there. A lot of different cultures came in, and it was sort of an open sort of a country. And then during the Civil War, it suddenly broke out. What had happened was Islamic guerrillas had, which were refugees from another country, began pouring in through the open borders in Lebanon until they outnumbered everybody else. And then the bottom fell out through the floor. And this woman was in her home with her family. She was a Christian, and they mortared her home and destroyed her home. And she spent the next 7 years living in hiding from that persecution. What would happen is, if you were driving down the road, they had checkpoints. They would stop cars, and your ID that you would carry would identify what religion you were. And if you were a Christian, they would simply take you out and shoot you. And she lived under sniper fire. Her mom and her had to crawl. It used to be a 5-minute walk to go get some water from the source that they used. They had to crawl through ditches and through the underbrush to get the water. It was a 3-hour process in order to bring water back to the ruins of their home. Why do people treat Christians with such brutality? Why do they hate them? Why is it the more you follow Christ, the more likely you are to be persecuted? Think about that. Why is that? The more you follow Christ, the more likely you are to be persecuted for doing that. And that's interesting, because if Jesus was such a great guy, if he was such a wonderful person, you know, this figure in history that everybody supposedly loves, he's such a wonderful guy, and if he's that way, and we try to be more like him, why is it that people persecute us all the more for doing so? You would think they would love us for doing so. We want to be like Jesus. If we want to be like Jesus, why does it grieve people so much that they would scorn us and mock us and persecute us, and some cultures put us to death? The more we become like him, the more people want to kill us. And then that raises another question. If we're not actively receiving persecution from people, if that's not happening to us, is that a good thing? Or is it maybe a sign that we're not following Christ as closely as we really ought to be? How much persecution, when you think about your life, how much persecution are you receiving in your life for following Christ? Interesting questions. And so today we're going to look at the Gospel of John again, John chapter 7, verse 1, and we're going to find, I think, some answers to some of those questions that shed some light on this whole persecution thing. Why is it that the world hates us so much when we try to follow Christ? Why is it they don't hate us when we don't?